Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Eye of Faces and welcome to Season 8
Premiere Day.
We did it! It's been a long old 2 years, but the final season of Game of Thrones is
not very far away at all.
So today we thought, let's do a special episode. We might even do some more if this one goes well and everyone enjoys it. Of course, I need to put in the usual thanks to everyone who listened and commented and downloaded to episode 3 with Vanessa Cole. It was a great episode. Make sure you go and check that out before you do literally anything else. Now that you've done that, come back to us and celebrate this day of glory, in which we are going to talk about 5 lesser characters and the natural conclusions to their individual arcs. Characters that aren't going to get as much of the spotlight, because guess what, there's 6 episodes, it's not a lot of time, and we've got Jon and Daenerys and Arya and Sansa and Cersei and Tyrion and Jaime and Sandor and lots of other people that are going to get a lot of talking about as the days wind down and winter comes. But don't worry about them, the big guns look after the big guns. There's endless podcasts going up today and the following weeks. I'm going to even be involved in some that are going to be talking about the big storylines. So we thought here at the Isle of Faces, we'd look at something a little different. And as a special treat to you all, I am going to be joined by a very, very special guest, my wife, Lady Buckley. How are you, wife?
I'm really good. I'm really excited about tonight.
You've got no experience with podcasts, but you do help me look after the Isle of Faces, and you've met me more than a few times, so we should hopefully be all right. And if not, we can just delete this and watch the episode later and no one will know the difference, hopefully. Or we could just discuss what we're going to have for tea or what time we're taking the dog for a walk. Or do you think maybe we should talk about Game of Thrones for a bit?
I think we should probably talk a bit about Game of Thrones.
So for anyone not paying attention to my tweets lately, you'll want to know that Lady Buckley and I have been really throwing ourselves into a rewatch. In fact, we aren't even finished yet. We still need to watch season 7 and there's only 8 hours left, so we probably need to do that quite quickly. We'll talk a bit about season 8 at the end and how we're feeling. But I should mention we're just working off the official trailer. We haven't looked at any spoilers or interviews or any of that. So this is a no spoiler episode on the island today. Lady Buckley, would you like to tell everybody what minor characters we're going to talk about?
Okay, so we're looking at the minor characters. We're looking at Bronn, Pod, Missandei, Gilly, and Gendry.
Were you going to say Gendry or Gendry?
Well, I said Gendry and you said it was Gendry.
I think it's Gendry.
Well, I'll go with you, but I think it's Gendry still.
So as you can hear, we're going to talk about some beloved characters, but probably not massive game changers that are not really going to affect too much now, especially considering we've only got 6 episodes. They might not even really get any screen time. My lady, which of these 5 are you most concerned about just being forgotten or not getting their due, just getting shoved in the corner very quickly, or maybe even dying really, really early?
The one that I'm most concerned about, not the one that I think is maybe most pivotal, but the one that I think is just going to get pushed to one side is going to be Bronn. I think with him, where was he at the end? Well, at the end of season 8, or last we saw of him that...
7.
The end of season 7, the last day we saw of him was going for a drink with Pod. But that we know that Pod is up in the north, but we don't know that Bronn went with him. So, with only 6 episodes, we'll include what actually happened to Bronn. Will he be there?
I assume he'll be there in some form, but he might not be there very much. Especially if he... Well, if he hasn't gone north with the rest of them, and he's just in King's Landing, and he can't be in scenes with Nina Headey, so there's not a lot for him to do. Unless he has already gone north, in which case he could have a lot to do, but we don't know yet.
But then, if he does go north, what allegiance does he have?
Well, we'll come to that in a second, because Bronn's going to be the first character we talk about anyway. And as we just said, we don't really know where he is. We can guess that he probably has gone north with everybody else, because he can't really stay with Cersei. So maybe he's joined up with Tyrion, maybe he's even followed Jaime, we don't really know. Unless he's just stayed at Stokeworth, but I don't think that's particularly likely for them to be wasting time on showing Stokeworth now.
Well, that's where what I'd worry about is that they'd just cut him out of it based upon that, in that there wasn't anything to demonstrate that he did actually go up.
I think we'll probably just find that he has gone up. But anyway, so talking about Bronn's character arc, then I see Bronn as like the Game of Thrones in a nutshell, who's like one third of Varys' riddle about the who has real power. Is it the sword or the name or the money bags? And obviously Bronn's the sword. He's a major player. We've seen through seven seasons how he's worked his way up from just sitting in an inn to being Tyrion's right-hand man to commander of the City Watch to a knight, and now a lord as well. So I could see, I think it would serve his story best if he actually did something bad or self-serving to remind us that the game is still being played even at this late stage when everyone else is too concerned with White Walkers and the end of the world. I could easily see Bronn still thinking about himself, still thinking about his money, and doing something betraying Tyrion or Jaime or just the kind of the good side in order to further himself. But you disagree, Lady Buckley.
I do disagree. I know you think that it's the best thing for his character and it'd be the most interesting thing for him to do it, but I still feel like the most interesting thing is that deep down he is loyal to Jaime and Tyrion. But then if you think about like the main points that he's had, the one of the last main points before season 7 was that he was very much interested in the Dornish girls. Could you not see him going and trying to help see what's happening with the Sands? I was just watching that last episode.
Yeah, but they're not in the story anymore, are they? They're dead.
Well, do you know that they're dead? Because you said that to me the other day, because I didn't think that...
Well, we know two of them are dead.
Yeah, but the third one, and that's the one that he was interested in. And he said he'd come back for her.
No, I don't see that happening.
I'm just saying.
I don't think they're going to be spending any more time on the Sands. There's not enough. There's only 6 episodes, they got to fit it all in. That'd serve no purpose to get them involved again.
It was just an idea, because I was just watching that episode. But you think... I don't think... He's out just for himself.
You think he'll prove himself to be good in the end, and that's a better conclusion for his story?
I don't think that he was ever not good. I think he was just logical about it. And even at the points where he took the path you'd say as bad, where he thought about himself, it wasn't him not caring for people. He still cared for Tyrion. He just didn't want to die.
Yeah. In the case of Tyrion's second trial by combat, it was him logically saying... Well, if he did it, he would die. And he was right, because he listed out exactly how Oberyn did it and would die. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're right, he did say that they are friends, but also the rest of the series has always been saying and foreshadowing that like he would sell him out or it wouldn't help him if there was no money.
But he didn't need to help Jaime either.
But he had his castle, so he did help Jaime.
Yeah, well, he did help Jaime, but he didn't have to.
Hmm. Yeah, he didn't know his motivations behind that. Jamie did promise him like more stuff, more castles.
Yeah, and he threatened him. But if you compare him as a sellsword to, say, Daryn Aharis, he has people he loves. He sold out his captains, but he has people he is loyal to. It's the same way that Bronn would be.
I just think it would be better, more interesting to say to the audience that even at this late stage, the game is still being played and Bronn is one of these players.
I think they'll have enough of that, though, just with Cersei. Cersei can do that all on her own. She doesn't need Bronn to have that edge.
Mm. All right. Agree to disagree on Bronn?
This is just our life.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
I do have a soft spot for Pod.
Yeah, we'll talk about Pod. So the last time we saw Podrick, he was with Bronn, going off for a drink before the big reunion, because Bronn's not allowed to be near Cersei. And we don't actually see him after that, but we can assume that he's headed back north with Brienne to Winterfell, and we do see in the trailer that he's preparing for the big battle with the dead, or one of the big battles with the dead. So I think Bronn's arc is actually fairly straightforward, and in almost all the other fantasies, he would probably be the main character. He starts off as the shy, awkward young squire, but then slowly makes a heroic save in a battle and earns respect that way. He learns from the famous knight in Brienne, and she's been teaching him how to sword fight, and we have seen him get better and better. So I can see Pod ending his arc by earning its spurs in some way and finally becoming a knight, maybe even doubling up and saving Brienne this time in a battle, or saving Tyrion again, or doing something else noble. Although having said that, and it being Game of Thrones, I could also see him doing that moments before he dies and actually giving his life, and he never gets to be the knight he's dreamed of, because that would make sense. It's Game of Thrones. But you have a different prediction for... Well, not different, but you have an additional prediction for what Pod could go through.
Because I don't think he's been building up to be a knight. I know that's what he wants to do, but he's always seen as the squire. He's like the ultimate squire, the support, as it were. I know he's been trained by Brienne, but he does have loyalty to Tyrion, so he will have conflict on both sides, depending if there is a conflict between Tyrion and Brienne. If something happens...
Or more of Tyrion and Sansa, or Daenerys and Sansa, because Tyrion's on one side and Brienne would be on the other, so Pod would have to choose which one he's...
Yeah, does he follow his oath in terms of how much he's promised himself to Brienne, and her whole story has been about keeping her oaths and things. But then if you look at the other side, he's got true loyalty to Tyrion. Not only is it from how much he cared for him, he gave him the start that he had, but also in the sense that he sent him away because he wanted to save his life. He truly cared about him. So I think it could offer him a lot of conflict between those two if there is issues between Sansa and Daenerys and Jon. Yeah, but I was also thinking that Tyrion didn't just train him to be a knight, though, did he? He trained him on all the noble families. He told him all about the political intricacies of Westeros.
Hmm.
So you could see him more of being a Missandei was when they were in Meereen.
Yeah.
Understands it all, understands what's going on around. You wouldn't see him as much as being and just a knight, a fighter. He's not that sense. He's got a lot more to offer.
He has done that several times now. Like showing off his knowledge of sigils and all that kind of thing. So you're right. But I don't know how much scope there'll be, because they're not really going to be... I don't think they've got enough time to be dealing with like the wider range of Northern families. I think they're going to be so microscoped in on just like the characters we know.
No, I know that. But in the sense that he knew exactly what to say to help Sansa with her oath to Brienne. He is knowledgeable of the wider intricacies that a knight doesn't necessarily know. He could use that talent elsewhere. He's been given the confidence by Brienne now to be a little bit more brave and to use the knowledge that Tyrion gave him. So he's almost, and he's got the...
He might get to do that at some point, but we do know he's going to be in a battle at some point because of the trailer. So I think there's a good chance that he will either be like Mr. Super Squire again and do something to save probably Brienne or someone else, or he'll actually be a hero in his own right because she has been training him in the sword and all that, and he has stood there with the sword this time instead of he's not just holding her arm anymore. And it would be quite a good service to the character to let him get the glory for him.
You could do it, then. That's never truly been Game of Thrones, has it, to actually let the character have what they want.
No, true. But I hope we do for Pod. Because we like Pod.
I do like Pod. But then when you think about him being in a battle with Brienne, thinking about his squiring, she has a lot of times failed in wanting to hold her oaths and defend people. Maybe it would be more of a sense that he steps in and does it for her. Hmm. Defends another character, not just Brienne.
Yeah, maybe that's... maybe Brienne fails again in some way and Pod save Sansa or something of that nature. But hopefully he gets to do something, because I think that would be a good finish for him from where he came from. Let's move on to Missandei, who you don't want to talk about what we're going to anyway. So what's Missandei up to?
So last we saw of her, she was sailing north with Dany, but we know that she's definitely going to be involved in some way. She's not just going to be lost, because obviously she's in the trailer with Grey Worm.
Yeah, probably. It looks like it's at Winterfell preparing for this battle again, and they're saying a heartfelt goodbye.
When you were talking about like arcs of characters and stuff, she's had a lot of knowledge and a lot of things to offer when they were in Essos.
Mm.
She's had a lot of things to give Daenerys. Now they've come over to Westeros, She doesn't have any knowledge of Westeros, the families, the White Walkers, the language. They all speak the same language. So really hard to see what her use is going to be, other than demonstrating that type of character that's left behind while they go to war. As Grey Worm goes off, what is her role going to be? I know you've got ideas of what could be her role.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. All of her uses were in Essos, as in uses to as a character. She couldn't really offer anything that anyone else can't offer now, apart from reminding everyone of how horrible slavery is. But I don't think that's going to be as big of a theme as it has been in previous seasons, because we've left Essos now. And like you say, everyone talks the same language, and she doesn't know anything of the land or the families like Pod does. I think that's why they wrote this Missandei Grey Worm storyline, to give her something to hinge on, because there's not an awful lot left. They've kind of written her out of it, and she's the one I would worry would kind of be shoved aside, because I don't really see, but obviously it does give their characters another dimension. They're not just 2D characters serving Daenerys, and they've got their own stakes in this, especially if Grey Worm goes off again.
But I
don't really see that as an arc. She's not really, she has grown, because obviously she was a slave when we first met her and awfully timid because of all the abuse, and Daenerys has brought that out of her, but we haven't seen much since that freedom. I don't know what else she would have left to do.
And I just feel like I'm not as worried about her, not from the fact that she has things to do, but in the sense that there's other people that I think are going to lose out with only 6 episodes being shown, whereas I'm not as invested in her. With Bronn and Pod, there's a lot more where we've watched them develop a lot more. There's a lot more, and she has got a backstory. She's got a lot of, she has got depth, but it's not to the extent that you're invested as much in her.
They have added depth with Grey Worm and their relationship, and we'll probably see heartbreak on for one or the other or both of them. But I think the only role she has left to serve really is keeping Daenerys happy and giving Daenerys someone to talk to if Daenerys gets upset about being Jon's aunt or something else, and she doesn't want to talk to Tyrion about it. Then there's just Missandei left, and it's just more of a sounding board than any other character.
And you did mention earlier on that actually something that you can see is there's going to be a lot of deaths going on in these 6 episodes. It's Game of Thrones, it's the big finale, they're going to have a lot of deaths. She would be quite easily one of the characters to lose.
Yeah. Especially if you wanted to hit Daenerys hard. Because he's not, if you're thinking of the ones that Daenerys really values, then there's Jorah, who probably will die. There's Tyrion a bit, but they don't know if they're all going to be on the same side. And obviously Jon, that I'm assuming wouldn't be until the end if it does happen. So you could see Missandei being killed, and Grey Worm as well, or, to be fair. So you could see Missandei / Grey Worm dying and one or the other reacting to that, but I don't see it as much of an arc. I think they kind of fell flat after. I know they kind of dragged it a bit with will they, won't they, a little bit with Missandei Grey Worm, but then they did last season.
It's in the trailer.
Now there's not much else left.
No, it's just more the tragedy of love and war. But then, Like I said, I'm more invested in some other characters that I'd be more heartbroken to lose. I'd be more heartbroken to lose Pod or Bronn than I would do to lose Missandei.
I agree. Let's not waste any more time talking about that. Fourth?
Gilly.
Forgotten Gilly. So, we know where Gilly is, or we can guess, because we saw her return to Winterfell with Sam, so assuming Sam has been staying with Bran and helping him out. Assuming that Sam has been staying and helping Bran out, then Gilly has probably been there looking after baby Sam. And I would argue that she's already concluded her arc, because she obviously started out as a severely abused, non-educated woman in Craster's Keep, and has since travelled the whole length of Westeros and been to Castle Black and sailed down to Horn Hill and then Old Town and then all the way back up and is now in Winterfell. So she's definitely more travelled than
almost any wildling. But a key part of her character was that she kind of had no knowledge of the world, and Sam had to teach all these things. And then Shireen started teaching her how to read. And last season we got that big moment of Gilly reading whatever it was about Rhaegar to Sam and kind of providing the missing link. So I think that was actually kind of the culmination of her growth, in that she's come so far and was actually such a key cog in working out the mystery when she couldn't even read before. So I'm not sure how they're going to top that now.
I think with her, it's looking at more of her character as the mother and the support for Sam in trying to get across these messages, the messages about Rhaegar and Lyanna, the messages about the Dragonglass, White Walkers, how they can impart knowledge into this battle.
Yeah, I guess she's kind of the opposite. We just said about Missandei doesn't have knowledge of the lands and all this, but Gilly does. She's 50% of our remaining wildlings with Tormund, and if anyone knows about the White Walkers and the North at this point, Gilly does have a strong case to make. You've got some thoughts about how she might help Sam if Sam comes into conflict with Daenerys' actions from last season.
Yeah, obviously, I know that Sam was kind of ostracised from his family, but at the same time, they were still his family and they were burnt alive. So with that, it will still hit a chord within him and it could cause some conflict in that sense. But then with Gilly, she got over and got through what Crasta did to her with the help of Sam, so she would be there to support him and try and get him through that and try and get him over that barrier between him and Daenerys. Especially with his loyalty to Jon, he wouldn't want to break those ties, but it would be a hard thing to get over. There is one interesting thing that we know about her, though, is from being Craster's daughter, she is related to a good majority of the White Walkers.
Yeah, that'd be interesting if that comes up in some way, or if baby Sam is still a target for the Night King for whatever reason, or if they even really make reference to it, because I could see them just kind of forgetting that Gilly's related to all these White Walkers and stuff.
True, but at the same time, you've not seen any of Craster's wives, family, any of them actually ever be killed by anything to do with the Whites or the White Walkers, so she could in some way have an immunity towards them, yeah, if they have knowledge that she is a relative of them.
Possibly. We don't know that the White Walkers think it just didn't happen to be
around.
No,
but it doesn't show anything like that. And yeah, considering the White Walker was visiting Craster's Keep to take the babies and left alone them, but then every other place that the White Walkers have been, they've just obliterated everyone and taken them for their army. They never took Craster and his family.
Yeah, possibly then. This is the kind of thing I think they probably would mention if there was 10 episodes. I don't know if they will get that in with 6, but hopefully, because that would be a good note just to bring up her importance a bit. So you think that mainly her plot now is going to be helping Sam or protecting... Did we see her in the trailer? Isn't she hiding with Varys? Is she hiding with Varys?
I don't really remember that bit. If I'm honest, we've not watched it that much, so that we don't ruin it. But then at the same time, Sam and Gilly, obviously not in like physical aspects, but they're probably the couple that we can relate to the most in the fact that I'm from the North and you're probably would be from the Reach.
Yeah, it's true. I'd not thought about that. No. All right, then. With Sam it's and true. Gilly, yeah.
You love reading your books. You would love to be a maester if you were in Game of Thrones, and let's be honest, I probably would be a wildling.
You'd have a funny accent. I guess one other possibility is, if we've said that Sam might come into conflict with Daenerys, but I guess he could come into conflict again with his sense of duty if the White Walkers do take Winterfell, or they're winning or something, and Gilly, having knowledge of what they do, is convinced they need to run, or some other superstition or whatever it might be, even though she has seen Sam kill a White Walker. I wonder if his loyalties would be tested, or his resolve, whether he stays with Jon / Daenerys / whoever, or if he just tries to get Gilly and baby Sam away. And maybe she even brings him back, and like he brought Jon back.
Maybe, but I think she has tested Sam a lot, and actually Sam's resolve has broken several times in the fact that he broke his oaths with her.
Yeah, that's about it, though.
No, but in that sense, he broke his oath with her to say that she...
He's not broken them several times, has he?
Well, he has with her.
Well, yeah, but there's one category. He's broken one part of the oath, which they all break. John did too.
Yeah, I'm not denying that other people have done it, but with her, I don't think there's a chance that she would run. Because even with the wildlings, when they were running at Hardhome, when it came down to it, they did fight. They did go to Eastwatch.
Yeah, that's true. Do we go to our last one?
We've only got one more.
Yeah.
That's gone really quickly.
All right, so last, but not least, is our good friend, Gendry.
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 Gendry. Gendry.
I don't know, people in the series call him Gendry and Gendry.
Gendry. Gendry. Okay, so we don't actually know where Gendry is. The last time we saw him, he was on his famous run, completing his triathlon training. He's done his rowing. He's done his running. He's probably going to be on a bike this season. But he ran back and warned Sir Davos about what was happening with the above the wall. And then we don't see him after that. So possibly he was still at Eastwatch when Night King came, but we didn't see him. We only saw Tormund and Beric. Or possibly he had already gone south with the others and they just didn't bother showing him. Don't know if he would have gone back to King's Landing after just having left. Or maybe he'd already been shipped to Winterfell for whatever reason. We don't know. But we do know he's around because we do see him in the trailer, probably at Winterfell, already forging weapons. And most people theorise that he's going to be forging Valyrian steel because he is the smith.
Well, he would be the smith. That's probably why they sent him to Winterfell. That's what, rather than keep him at Eastwatch, he'd be a lot more use at Winterfell.
Yeah.
Because how many smiths can be left when they've had all these battles going on with Battle of the Bastards and everything?
Well, whether he was there at the wall coming down or not, we know he gets to Winterfell. So, but looking at his arc then, because he's obviously been like only Bronn out of our five. It's only him and Bronn who've been around since season one, so we can see their whole arc in front of us, and obviously he was quite young there, so we get even more of an arc than we do with Bronn. He's the last Baratheon, and he was a kind of not recognised bastard who got kind of shipped off before he could be killed and was taken away from, even though he didn't know who his family was and what his hereditary was, got shoved aside and had to travel with Arya, and then he got lost in a rowboat for 5 years and everything else. So I think his arc naturally would be something to do with him being the last Baratheon, and if he can, whether he'll become at Gendry Baratheon instead of Gendry Waters, or whether he'll be something of importance that way, what do we think?
When I first started watching, I actually thought he was running a parallel with Jon in the sense that he was a bastard. He was going to try and learn who his family was and develop that way, maybe be legitimised. But then, actually, when thinking about it, it's a lot more, with him being the last Baratheon, it's completely flipped from Robert's Rebellion, whereas the Baratheons were demolishing the Targaryens and left just, well, there was two, but eventually one Targaryen. This could be the same with the Baratheons. Now the Targaryens are coming back. We now know there's at least two. So it could be coming across, and it could mean that there is a parallel between Daenerys and what happened at Robert's Rebellion, so Gendry may have to run away and be on his own. I think he's already
done all his running, hasn't he?
Well, he's clearly very good at it. Yeah. He's clearly fit. He's done a lot of rowing, a lot of running, but actually, if you think about it, with that, it's not a sense of him running away and running to Essos the same as Daenerys, but in the sense that he is competition to Cersei, he's competition to Daenerys. There's still families that were on the side of the Baratheons. I know it's very difficult to think about that way, but if we're still considering there is still the Game of Thrones going on, then he has a very strong claim.
I guess there isn't. I don't know how strong it is.
Because he can't. Son.
Yeah, but how much can you actually prove that now? But that's not going to be something they get into in great detail because they haven't got time. That'd be more of a book thing.
No, but you can prove it just as much as you could at the beginning when Ned just read the book and said that they were all black of hair.
There's a lot more going on then. But anyway, I don't think That could come up, but I don't think it will come up in that much detail. And I don't think he's going to be running again, because, like we said, he's done that enough. I think it is going to be some, he's going to have some big part to play, whether it is, maybe he's just forging Valyrian steel and he saves everyone that way. He does something, kind of the unfinished work of the Baratheons, because they messed everything up and were too busy thinking about the game instead of the true enemy. So maybe Gendry finally does the Baratheon's duty.
But, like you were saying, he could complete what his father never managed to do. He could actually get around to marrying a Stark.
Yeah, we could. I think it might be a bit of fan service. Everyone would really like for him and Arya to get together. I don't know if Arya's capable of those emotions anymore, but it's definitely a reunion. One of the reunions we're looking forward to seeing.
Well, the Starks are getting pretty emotionless. You've got Bran with no emotions.
Yeah.
Sansa's the only one who's a bit emotional at the moment.
In a good way.
Yes, but I mean as in that Arya and Bran in
and John's a bit broody, yeah.
Were very, very emotionless.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd actually even see it. I don't think we would see them like properly get together in the midst of all this, but perhaps just a hint. Maybe they end up living in Winterfell together or somewhere else or something.
If it's going to come across in six episodes, it's going to be more looks and...
Yeah, exactly, glances and just a hint that maybe Arya isn't so far gone as Bran, for example. Maybe Gendry or Gendry can bring her back. I do think it would tie a neat little bow, though, that the coming together of the two families that started Robert's Rebellion and started off the series, the Baratheons meet coming with the Stark, or the Starks coming with the Baratheons, which kind of doomed both families, you know, back in the first episode. If they can merge again this way and it not end in terror, then that would be a good little arc for Gendry and Arya and both families. I think maybe Gendry's arc is more about the Baratheon arc than just himself.
True.
Although he has got his Warhammer, so he is also becoming his father and becoming protecting the realm like his father should have done.
Mm.
That's why I see it. It is a bit comparable to Jon, where not so much Rhaegar, but Jon has become the new Ned, isn't he?
Yeah, he's of the Stark children, I'd say at the moment, based upon their experiences, and think going from the beginning, you wouldn't have said it, but right now he is the most like Ned.
Mm.
With Sansa probably taking a lot more of Catelyn, and with Arya and Bran becoming so disconnected at the moment, they just feel disconnected to what their personalities were. I think he's either going to be one of those people who actually manages to stay alive.
Yeah, I could see that.
Cause more conflict if they do defeat the White Walkers and there is still the Game of Thrones going on, he could cause more conflict in that because he has got a plane. But at the same time, he could be as doomed as the rest of them.
Yeah, we could even see an ending where he is kind of half recognised as Baratheon, because we've never been told what's going on in the Stormlands or Storm's End. So they could just slot him in and say, yes, you're the new Baratheon. But maybe it would be a good part of his arc if he actually turns that down and wants to remain a bastard in the same way that Jon kind of turned that down as well. Originally, before he got stabbed. And then he does just remain with Arya and or Winterfell or something like that. Be a good little conclusion. What do we think? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we've done our minor characters, our five minor characters. We were going to do seven, but we couldn't be bothered. So let's talk very quickly before we go just how we're feeling with 7 hours to go.
Well, I'm panicked because you're saying we've got 7 hours.
7 hours and seven episodes of season seven to watch. But what about in general? It's the last premiere of season eight. We've got 6 weeks and it's all done.
Are
you quite worried about my sanity afterwards?
I'm quite worried about your sanity every time we watch an episode. I don't think that there is a single outcome where you are going to be anything but completely shook up. I think as well, both of us have come up with different like predictions and theories and what we think is going to happen, and both of us have got completely conflicting views.
Yeah.
I think that you want to see more of the darkness that is within the book.
It's not darkness, it's that I want to see proper story writing.
Yeah, but it is correct story writing. It's just a different, I think there's different ways about it. But no, it's not anything about story writing. It's more in the sense that I want it to still be very political. I don't just want to see an absolute massacre.
I agree. That would be annoying. But I don't think... We've had this argument in the car before. But it's not just going to be... I'm not going through it again.
Right, it's, you know, because you want to use it as the parallel for climate change. And
I don't want to. I just think it's there.
No, I know you do. And you think that it's going to be... And when we said that, and you said, well, I did say there is ways that could happen. I think that if it was to happen where the White Walkers just took over, then you would be left with certain characters. And I think it wouldn't just be a complete annihilation. I think you would get left with, and I'm probably not very popular, but I do think Bran would be left.
Mm.
Because he knows everything, but what can he do about it? He can't do anything. There's no one left but him.
Yeah, that would be bittersweet.
I think that's... kind of the story of what the Three-Eyed Raven is. They know all these things. How do they
could be
help
could be
but then if you go with what I want and I want
it's different. You go with what you want and I go with what I think would be best. Not what I want.
I think it would be a really good story. I don't want to lose all the characters. I know.
I'm not saying
that. I think you'd be heartbroken with a lot of characters dying, but it will happen. And I think that actually when it comes down to it, it would be more interesting to see how the politics are still raging afterwards. If there is a success and yet still half the world is decimated, what is going to be picked up?
Okay, let's say it this way. Let's get mini predictions in. Episode 1 in 7 hours, how many characters that we know die in episode 1?
Oh, at least 5.
Five in episode 1?
Yeah, they're going to go for shock and awe. That's what I reckon. I think they're gonna.
It's not like that, no. Episode 2, maybe.
No.
We're gonna get 5. We'll get 3.
No, I think they will. And I think not all of them. It won't be immediately White Walker battle, but I think they will go in guns blazing. No. There'll be stuff. There will.
It's a nice thought, but I don't think. I don't even know if there'll be any action tonight, fighting action.
I think people are bigging up to be this one great fight.
No, I don't think it'll be one great fight.
No,
because the trailer's supposed to only be the first couple of episodes.
And it's going
to
be long and enduring.
Yeah, I don't think that you get any major... I don't think there's any battle today.
No,
on
but
any
I don't,
on any front.
I don't think that either, though.
Why are you going to have 5 people die then?
Because there's more than just that that's going on. You've still got... all these other characters that not one of them of all these different battalions of people like each other, and they're all trying to
come
together.
Yeah, but you're not
going to
have in the first episode just secret back. There aren't. That's the thing anymore. It's much harder to play the game because you have 2 very definite sides. There's not as much room to be there's factions within the factions and there's double crossing.
Well, there are factions in the factions though, because you've got the sense that Daenerys and Jon, you've got Sansa.
Right. Yeah, but that's not what can happen in episode 1, is it?
No, but it's going to be a build-up. It's going to be a build-up to all these different
build-up. Build-up.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to use episode 1 for the build-up.
And so many people die in the first one. No, I think they're going to kill off a lot of people.
Not in episode 1. 2, maybe. Right. Not in episode 1, but the whole series. Do you think Gendry dies?
No.
Yes or no?
I don't think he'll die. Unless it's a fuel massacre.
Gilly. Does Gilly die? I say Gendry doesn't die, by the way.
You don't think Gendry? I don't think he would die at all unless it's a complete massacre. If we just...
Gilly, if move on.
But can we just rule out a complete massacre by the White Walkers?
Yeah, obviously if they kill everybody. But neither of us think that's going to happen. Gilly,
I think she'll stay alive.
We've
got Smith, we've got a mother.
I also think she will stay alive, but it would be fitting if she died and Sam had to raise baby Sam on his own.
It would be better.
Missandei.
I think there'd be bigger characters dying rather than...
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll keep characters.
Does Missandei live?
Stop talking over me. No.
I don't think she does.
I don't think she lives. It's her or Grey Worm or both of them.
Hold.
I think he will, and I really don't want him to.
He will what?
Die.
I was asking if he lives.
I don't really don't want him to die.
I also think he might die, but yeah. But who goes back as a white also?
Oh, that's a completely different one.
Does he die?
I'm really worried that he's gonna be almost completely cut out of it.
He's not. We know he's not out of it because the actor said that he's in it.
No, I know, but then, I can't see him getting involved in a huge battle like that.
I think he lives. I think he does something to keep himself alive. Or, to be fair, I could also see him doing that and it completely backfiring and it being like a comeuppance. But I don't think they will.
No, but it could be like with when we thought Tormund, you love Tormund so much, and the thought of him dying.
I think he should have died.
I know you do.
He should have died. That's horrendous. No, it's not. It makes sense. Tormund should have died when they were on the lake, when they were dragging him under, because that would have made his death worth something, to show that the big thundering man who's scared of nothing, to have him screaming and screaming for help, being dragged under the water, would have given the whites more danger.
Wouldn't have any arc with Brienne. I really want him to get
together. That's not going
to
happen.
I want him to get together with
Brienne. That's not going to happen. That's just fan service.
I want her to feel like she's been loved.
Yeah, she's not going to get that from Tormund. That's infatuation, not love.
No, but how do you know that?
Because I've watched the show.
It's just...
She'll get that with Jaime, if anyone, not Tormund. But Tormund's... They should not have had those seven and only have Forrest die of cold. They're surrounded by a million whites. Tormund should have gone down and it would have been dead things in the water and it would have made a lot more sense.
No, I do agree with you in that, but then there's also several people who I would prefer to have died more than Tormund.
Yeah, fine, but he almost died and got saved. They should have just let him die.
Mm.
Because then it would have been whites are for real.
Yeah, but we already realised that.
Yeah, but it's been a long time since, Hardhome.
This is what I'm saying. You're saying it's been a while since there's been a big mass killing.
I'm not asking for mass killing. I'm saying Tormund should have died.
No, but you're saying that more should have died as well. To show that the whites, they're bad. That we know they're bad. They brought the white to King's Landing to see how bad they were. And
they didn't do anything.
No, but to see, for instance, to see Cersei be so scared. I know she's just going to...
But she wasn't scared.
She was. She just turned on herself.
Not enough, because she's still
I scared Jaime enough to leave her.
Right, Jaime.
Yeah, but he hasn't left her at any other point. She's done a lot of terrible things.
Yeah, but we're talking about Cersei. He's not scared her enough.
Yeah, but it did. It did scare her. It's just she's a lot more far gone than Jaime.
Yeah, but their whole plan didn't work, did it? Because the whole reason they went above the wall...
That was
to get the white, yeah. To get the white, to show Cersei, so that they would all fight together. Hasn't worked because Cersei's not actually working with them. It didn't work. So, they obviously aren't that scary. Maybe if you'd known... Cersei didn't know Tormund. Maybe if they said, hey, we know this great big ginger guy who's afraid of nothing, can kill anyone. And even he got dragged under the water and killed. Might mean something.
I like Tormund.
So do I.
Stop trying to kill him then.
They're all going to die.
They're all going
to
die.
Okay, exactly 7 hours to go. So we need to get on. Thank you, Lady Buckley, for stepping in and having a chat with me or an argument about these little minor characters.
I just disagree on everything, but I'm so excited.
7 hours to go. And then a week. And then another week. That'll be the hardest bit, because we're used to watching them one after the other.
Yeah, we've watched about 30 in about 2 days.
Yeah, and now we have to wait a week each. Okay, right, thank you for coming on, and I love you.
Love you too.
Goodbye. Okay, everybody, you've been listening to myself and Lady Buckley talk about season 8 and what could be happening to our favourite minor characters. Obviously, we're also thinking about the big ones, but so is everyone else. So we thought we'd try something a little different. It's just under 7 hours, 6 hours 55, until we get the last episode 1 we're ever going to get. I know it's very tempting. There's a lot of podcasts, much better than this one, all out and talking about predictions and themes and everything else that we're going to get. There's a lot to digest and take in from the fandom if you want, but I would just remind you, at the end of the day, sit down, watch the show, enjoy it. You can go on Twitter if you want, you can argue, you can go on Reddit, make your posts, make your essays, so many of us are, but at the end of the day, just make sure you enjoy it, because we've got 6 left. It's a pretty emotional day, it'll be an emotional few weeks, and when the final gets here, it'll be that bittersweet that George is always talking about. But we got one last ride, one last dance, and let's get to it. Enjoy the episode, everybody. I'm sure I'll be back soon on the Isle
talk about more season 8, more fandom, more usual Isle of Faces stuff. Thanks again to Lady Buckley, especially for going down and looking after the dog while I do this bit so I don't get embarrassed. See you soon, everybody.